Now, before we sing this last hymn, let me say that we could not persuade Brother Wilson to preach this morning, but he's going to come after I speak and share a word with us, and we'll be hearing from him then, and I'm looking forward to that. I always look forward to his challenging words, and so we'll look forward to that as well. All right, hymn number 282. Let's stand together. Nearer, my God, to thee. Let's sing a couple of verses of this. That we've been dealing with, taken from a text verse out of Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 8, about God's drawn line or God's stretched line. A lot of times we talk about, here's where I draw the line, or there's where they draw the line. And to a certain extent, there's truth in that. But what we've been looking at is God's drawn lines. You see, when God draws a line, we don't have the right to alter that line. We don't have a right to question that line. And so we begin by looking at God's drawn line concerning Scripture. Now, if we don't have a preserved and presented Word of God, then we're a ship without a compass. We're a plane without wings. We're a car without fuel. So we are thankful that we have a preserved Word of God in the Authorized Version. And that we don't have to worry about what God has said. He's recorded it. We're going to look at a couple of passages this morning, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, that will show us how God's Word went forth. But here, this morning, we have a Bible, God's drawn line on the Scriptures, and that's what we dealt with first. The second thing that we dealt with is God's drawn line on sin. That man is totally depraved. That man is corrupt. That man is in darkness. That man was born on the wrong side of God's line, and he needs to be born again. And then thirdly, we spoke on God's drawn line concerning salvation. Salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It's the gospel of grace that's preached and goes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit that regenerates, that quickens, that makes alive, that one might believe, that one might repent. And those are gifts of God. And man in and of himself cannot accomplish that. And now this morning we're coming to the last of this series of messages, and we've normally been taking Sunday morning to deal with part of it and Sunday evening to deal with the rest of it. Well, this one has gotten so big, well, they're all big. I mean, I just quit on that after Sunday morning, Sunday night. I tell the church sometime, when I first started preaching, my first message, I felt like I preached from Genesis to Revelation and sat down in 10 minutes. Nowadays, I just preach until I feel the Lord's said what he wants to say through us, and then sit down and take back up that Sunday night, take back up the sun next Sunday if the Lord wills, whatever. But there's one thing for sure, I in and of myself cannot help you, but God, through his Spirit, can help us and minister his word to us. And so in looking at this subject, it's a big subject. It's a big subject, but I want you to notice a couple of things with me this morning concerning one view from the Old Testament, one example from the Old Testament, and one from the New. And just as in the Scriptures, and just as in sin and salvation, God has a line drawn, he has a line drawn concerning our service, concerning ministry. And that line can be summed up in a positive word and in a negative word. It is God's drawn line in service is obey me. And the opposite of that is disobedience. Now, we've learned through the years that obedience is doing exactly what the Lord's told us to do. And yet, there's more to it than that with the right heart attitude. That's imperative. That's important. That we have the right heart attitude. That we go forth in service with the right heart attitude. So, another way of looking at this might be a charge that God's given us. A charge that God's given us in service. His strong line is a charge. Do this. Accomplish this. And of course, following our profession of faith in Christ, following the Scriptures that led us to Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, then our first step in service and obedience then was to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, to get scriptural baptism, and then to become a part of one of the Lord's churches, and then to follow the service that God's got for us. Some it would be to the mission field. Some it would be preaching and pastoral work. But day in and day out, we have a charge to keep from God. Having said that, I want you to turn first in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 13. And while you're turning, let me encourage you to find in the New Testament the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. We may or may not get to that. I do not know how far we'll get to go this morning, but what we don't cover, we'll cover in the evening service. But turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 13, and here in this passage, we're going to look at God's drawing line of service for one man. In fact, we don't even have the name of this one man that God is going to use. You see, names are not necessarily important. But here in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 13, the Bible said, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judea by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." I wish we had time. In fact, I'm going to take the time to read just a few following verses here. "And he cried," this man of the Lord cried, "against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and unto thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Rehoboam heard the saying of the man of God, that he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put, when he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not put it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord has laid this passage upon our heart as I spoke with the church when we first started this series. I said, I believe that we will be using this passage again, and we've used it before. And so this Old Testament passage gives us where we see obedience versus disobedience. Now the first part of the story of this man of God, Behold, there came a man of God, it's just marvelous. It's wonderful as to what takes place, the obedience that you see. But if you continue the story, of which we will not be able to cover all today, but I'll at least give you this much of it, he does well in the outset. But eventually, he listens to voices rather than the voice of the Lord. And in doing so, he ends up in disobedience. He ends up in death. And so, I believe that we take too lightly the Lord's service, the drawn line of the Lord's service. I believe we take too lightly today our obedience unto the Lord. So let's look at these. Now, I'll just mention to you that in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 is the New Testament counterpart of this. And I'll just give you the first few words where Paul said to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Now how can you preach the word if there's not a settled, preserved word of God to preach? And so there's your wrong line again. When you have the word of the Lord, you can preach the word of the Lord. And that's where our charge comes in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. But if you'll notice here in the reading in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 9, it says, For so was it charged me by what church? The word of the Lord. And so here we see in both passages an Old Testament example, a New Testament example, and I probably won't deal with the New Testament as much as we're going to deal with this particular one. All right, let's notice. First of all, we have a man. A man. Now, generically speaking, this can also include a woman. I'm not talking about a woman in the ministry to preach, but a woman or a young lady in the aspect of obedience to the Lord. But nonetheless, we have a man. And the Bible says, There came a man of God out of Judah. A little bit of the background here is that Jeroboam had set up his own type of worship. It was idolatrous. And it was set up in order to take the place of the children of Israel going to Jerusalem as they were supposed to go. It was set up to where he would counterattack the ways of God. But it was religious, after all, and it was convenient for the people, and so they enjoyed it. That's what we're experiencing today when it comes to ministry or service. A lot of what we're doing is idolatrous. A lot of what we're seeing and hearing is idolatrous. It's not true to the Word of God. And so here are the people going up near the home, doing their thing in religion. Even Jeroboam, it's no longer the Levites, it's no longer the true priests of God, it's men that King Jeroboam has appointed himself. They are wicked, he is wicked. This has not escaped the eyes of God. And beloved, the day and time in which we're living God is not asleep. God knows exactly what's going on in the day and time in which we're living. And thank God, He still has men of God. And they go forth with the Word of God. And so the Bible tells us here, there came a man of God out of Judah by the Word of the Lord. And that's mentioned several times. Not only in verse number 1, but look at it in verse number 2. And he cried against the altar in the Word of the Lord. Go over to verse number 9. For so was it charged me by the Word of the Lord. We're under a charge to preach, to believe, to obey the Word of the Lord. And this man is anonymous. His name is not even given. We don't know what his name is. And yet, he comes on the scene on this particular day, and the Bible says in verse 2, he cried against the altar. That's his message. His message is to denounce this adulteress. That's his obedience. That's his wrong line of service. He's to denounce this wicked king. He's to denounce this adulterous system. He's just one person going up against the king. The difference is that though he's in the minority, God is in the majority. And so God is leading and directing in this matter, and therefore he sets out publicly to prophesy what God said. God even backs it up with a sign. And the thing that makes it so tremendous that what he says is going to happen is 290 to 300 years down the road. Josiah wasn't even born. Now, the children of Israel were a people of sign. We know that. And God doesn't work today with signs. He could. But God doesn't work as frequently today with signs as he did. We have the finished Word of God. Our obedience is to, by faith, believe. By faith, obey. By faith, complete our ministry and complete our service for the glory of God. And when I see passages like these, I take comfort in them. Notice he didn't just walk in there quietly. The scripture said he cried against the altar in the Word. And he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. A man that goes forth, a man of God, can go forth saying, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord commanded. This is the drawing line. This is what he says about his scriptures. This is what he says about sin. This is what he says about salvation. This is what he says about service. We're not without assistance. We're not without help. Now here's what he said. A child born. He mentions a child born. Behold, a child shall be born under the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. This next article, the Baptist Trumpet, is bearing an article that has been in it before concerning cremation. And all you have to do is read this passage and see that cremation is a curse. That the burning aspect is a curse of God. But more and more people are, and Christian people, religious people, and even professing believers are yielding to this business of cremation. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but it's something that needs to be dealt with. It's not a sacred item. Burial is a sacred thing, and we should bury the body and not cremate the body. But this is a type of the judgment of God, and cremation is always associated with the judgment of God. And so the judgment of God is going forth upon this prophecy that's taking place. But then notice it says also in verse number 3, the sign of the day, the Bible said, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. I want you to know that I've come from the Lord. And in that time, because there was not a finished set of scriptures, and Israel was a nation that operated under God's signs to them, he would give them a sign. And so here, the audacity of this man of God, and I call it the young man of God, because in this same story, there's an old prophet that comes on the scene. And when the old prophet comes on the scene, he's not following God. He's not following the true ministry. He's not following the charge that's been given to him. He's kind of on the sidelines. He's doing that that's easy. He's doing that that's comfortable. But what God wants out of us today, young or old, what God wants out of us today is a faithfulness to serve Him as men with a message. And to complete the ministry that He's given to do. And so the Bible said in verse number 3, and He gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the men of God which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand. The king stretches forth his hand, and in doing so, he gives the command, lay hold of this man. We're not going to listen to this type of preaching. We're not going to listen to this type of destruction. This is an opposer. This man's against us. Lay hold of him. And when he did so, his hand wouldn't draw back. He couldn't pull his hand back. Now, was it something that the young prophet did? No, it's something that God did. And God is just as much alive today, and God is just as able today. I can tell you, and no doubt others here can tell you over and over again, when God is stretched forth in His power to do things and to perform things that are just as real as that stretched forth hand. But yet we don't see it as that, but we see it in answered prayer. We see it in God meeting needs. We see it in God providing. We see it in God holding His little flocks together for His honor and for His glory. In fact, I'm more encouraged this year than I've been in quite some time. I'm more encouraged this year with what the Lord has called me to do than I have been in quite some time. I thank God for giving the encouragement that we're under a charge to go forward. Just like in the military, we are soldiers of the cross. And we're to go forth, giving forth the truth of God's Word and perform the functions thereof. But nonetheless, he can't pull his hand back. Bible tells us the altar also was rent. And here's where the sign came about. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. He had said it would happen, it happened. And the ashes began to pour out. Now notice in verse 6, and the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God. He's not my God, but entreat thy God. Here is a self-confession of his adulterous ways. Because he's saying, entreat thy God. You know, the servant did. That was part of his service. He did so, and you know what happened? God let the king stretch his hand back in. Now, did that change the king's heart? Beloved, listen to me. Signs don't change people's hearts. Things that happen, they don't change people's heart necessarily. You remember what the rich man said about his brothers? If one returned from the dead, if Lazarus could go back, if somebody could go back, my brothers are here. If they won't hear the word of the Lord, they wouldn't hear one, though they rose from the dead. You know why? Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's doing. It's not, though God, there was nothing wrong with the signs. God worked in that way in that time. In our time, God just simply answers prayer. Sometimes it's with a no, sometimes it's with a yes. And yet, nonetheless, we see that the king entreats him. From thy God, pray for me, that my hand might be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored. Now, here comes an invitation. And this is what I want you to see. Because in sensationalism, in emotionalism, and especially if you're young, you can get carried away with this. And so the king says, I want you to come home with me. Now, up until this time, nothing has been told us about the charge that's been given to this man other than the charge to preach against this idolatrous altar and this idolatrous king. But you see, hidden in the call of every one of us, there are additional calls or charges that God lays down on us that He tells us not to do. And when we study the scriptures, we can see what they are. Now, I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with the invitation? If you listen to language today, it could be, oh yeah, I'd be glad to go home with you. Man, I'm going to win this person to God. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm going to go home. I know he's going to. Beloved, listen. We better listen to the voice of God. Because if we listen to the voice of ourselves, if we listen to the voice of men, if we listen to the great, wonderful things, or if as a young person we get prideful because, you see, this king, everything's been going the young prophet's way thus far. I mean, the hand that reached out to grab him was steady. When he prayed for the arm to be released, it was released. Everything's going his way. And when the king invites him to go home with him, listen to what he said. In verse number 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Two words I want you to notice there. Well, actually three. Come home with me, refresh thyself, and I'll give you a reward. Beloved, we should not refresh ourselves in any way, form, or fashion at the altars or at the disposal or at the use of the world and the ungodly. And furthermore, no matter what we're offered as a reward, we must be careful. Here's the answer in verse 8. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. I won't even drink any water. And another place he said, I'm not even going home the way I came. God told me to go home a different way. I'm not going to eat bread, I'm not going to drink. Now somebody said, that's severe. Beloved, the charge of God is serious and all times severe. And the charge of God is given in the ministry and the service of the Lord as a drawn line that we have no right to play with, that we have no right to tamper with. And he answers why he's doing it that way in verse 9, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, not his own doings. Not King Rehoboam, where he had come from, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went home another way and returned by the way that he, not by the way that he came to Bethel. By the way that he came to Bethel. Thus far, good. Thus far, you'd have to say, that's my kind of man. Thus far, you'd have to say, that's the kind of servant I'm going to be. Thus far, you'd have to say, that's the kind of ministry I want to do. I want to come in to God's Word like that, and I want to go out like that. But beloved, the adversary, we have an adversary fighting against us. We have Satan fighting against us, and he doesn't want that. Just as he came into the Garden of Eden in the form of a serpent, and did his work there in an adversarial way, attacking that God has said, twisting that God has said, doing away with that God has said, we have that same adversary today. I want to talk with you a little bit about these voices. These voices that say, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I want to reward you. Hear what I'm saying. those voices come even to the men of God. This is a young prophet that's a man of God, and he's tempted with that voice. These voices come to the aged, to the mature, if you please. Let's think about Elijah. When Elijah's on the run from Jezebel, and he ends up in the cave with his focus all messed up and his ministry all messed up and his service all messed up because he's running rather than serving. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it speaks these words. And he said, "Go forth and stand against the mount before the Lord." And Elijah witnessed the power of the wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. You see, that wind was a voice, and it was a powerful voice, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. He beheld an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. That was a powerful shaking and moving. That was a voice as well. And then he saw the fire. But the scriptures tells us, but the Lord was not in the fire. So you see, each of those, though they were scenes that were seen with the eye, the Lord wasn't in any of it. And the Lord allowed it to happen. He allowed the wind, he allowed the earthquake, he allowed it. But that wasn't how God wanted to speak to Elijah. You know how God spoke to Elijah? In a still, small voice. Let's make it practical today. What are the voices that are calling you? What are the voices that you're hearing? Listen, they can come to you through a radio. They can come to you through a television. They can come to you through a computer. They can come to you through a neighbor or a friend or a foe. Even the billboards. It can come to you through a car that's in the next lane that you're beside at the traffic light. It can come to you through a magazine, through a book. It can happen at the grocery store, at the library. Hear what I'm saying. Because these voices are not across the ocean. These voices are not in another land. These voices are inviting us to come home with them. You'll have more friends. Come home with me. You'll have more finances. Come home with me. You won't be so alone. Come home with me. Your church will be bigger. Come home with me. Your financial needs will be met. Come home with me. They come in so many unsuspecting ways, where you work, on the phone. Did you know a voice can even come to you in a laugh, or a smile, or a countenance? It can happen while you're sitting at the desk. It can happen while you're riding down the road. It can happen while you're laying in bed. It can happen while you're on the job. It can happen while you're at the table. In your living room, in the yard, or at college, or at school. It can happen while you're fixing a recipe, or while you're doing homework. You know, I think we are aware of those, but are we aware of these? It can happen while you're singing in church. It can happen while you're preaching. Hear what I'm saying. It can happen while you're preaching. Hear what I'm saying. It can happen while you're praying. These voices that invite you to come home with them, as this servant was invited to come home, it can happen while you're listening to a message. It can happen while you're playing an instrument. It can happen while you're having your devotions. Friend, the evil voices of Satan don't care where you are. And when you least suspect it, he'll come. I'm alarmed today. I receive a few magazines at the house from the Christian Periscope. I'm alarmed today at the ministers that are called up. That the professors in college, the mission, I'm alarmed at the statistics of those that are caught up in the evils of the web. And those, and listen, it's not as easy to shake off as one may think. But it's those voices inviting you. Come, come, come. And beloved, God wants us to stay away from those voices. Let me approach it a little different way. That voice can come from your husband. That voice can come from your wife. That voice can come from your children. That voice can come from your comrades or your friends. That voice can come from other Christians. That voice can come from preachers. Oh, how it grieves me when I think of the times that I may have misled someone because I spoke in the wrong time, the wrong way. Maybe like Samuel did when he spoke to David. If it's in your heart, do it. That's a good thing to do. But is it what God wants done? Those are the kind of things that we want to be conscious of. It alarms me today at the Christians, believers, many times preachers, that will fight against your own home, that will fight against your own church by giving counsel and by giving instruction that is against you and the way that God's leading you. Preachers know what I'm talking about. They've experienced this. Well, what we must do is determine that I'm not going home with that voice. Let's read on about this servant. Bible said, verse 10, so he went home another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. All right? Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the words that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, whom they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Verse 13. Verse 15. Then he said unto him, come home with me. But notice what he wanted him to do. And eat bread. Surely this man's tired. Surely this man's weary. It requires a lot to preach. It requires a lot to pray. It requires a lot to study. So here's that voice again. Come home with me. Now he's overcome the first one. There's his obedience of service. And beloved, the most grievous passage of Scripture, one of the most grievous passages of Scripture that I find, is shared this passage. Because this voice, this old prophet, who is no doubt jealous, who is no doubt out of the will of God, who's got comfortable living in this adulterous place. He still bears his religious title, but he has no hunger, no thirst, and no longing. There's a famine in his ears. There's a famine in his heart. There's a famine in his seeing. He don't want anything that God's doing because he's just settled and content. And yet he goes to tell this man, come home. Young people, when it comes to courtships, that voice will talk to you. Come home with me. Preachers, when we get ready to find out what God wants us to do, whether to stay where we are and move on, that voice will come to you and show you all the reasons why y'all believe. Now, I believe equally so. That voice can come to you and tell you when you ought to stay, when actually God may be leading you to go. I'm saying we must be so committed to service that we will not listen to any voice but God's voice. Now, I wish we could all testify that's all we've ever done, but we'd be lying. I like to think of it this way. In the navigational field, usually a ship coming into the harbor will have at least, sometimes four, maybe just a, but usually three navigational points. And as you come into each port, lights are different, harbors are different, but they will have three, usually two or three, navigational points that they'll line up with that'll bring them in safely. I want to bring that over to our lives as believers, or that we won't get sidetracked by these voices that are inviting us to come home in the service that God's called us to. Folk, life is short. My time is running out. My days are numbered. I want to live them in ministry and service for the honor and the glory of God. Here are four navigational points that I like to think of. Number one, there are the Scriptures. Number two, there is the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit. Three, there are surroundings. Four, servants. Now hear what I'm saying. If your surroundings and your servant, whoever it is serving, it could be a preacher, it could be a friend, it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be the evangelist, it could be the missionary. Your surroundings, if that servant and those surroundings dictate to you to do something that doesn't line up with the Scriptures and don't line up with the Spirit, then forget those two. Because the other two are perfect. The other two will never lead you wrong. I like to think of this young prophet as yielding there because of who this man said he was. He knew what the word of the Lord was. He preached that several times in the early outset. He knew what the Spirit of God was leading to do. And I don't believe it's the surroundings that dictated to him. Unless it was his thirst and his hunger, that could have been it. But I believe it was the servant. Listen to the language of this servant. He said, in verse 15, then he said unto him, come on with me and eat bread. The man of God says, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way thou camest. He's consistent. He's saying the same thing that he said. You know, have you ever been accused of... He's preaching the same thing I heard him preach 20 years ago. She's living the same way she was living 20 years ago. There's just no giving in to them people. There's just no mercy with them people. This servant's holding what he said. He's holding the word of the Lord. He's holding the command of the Lord. But read on. And he said unto him, this is the old prophet, and he said unto him, the young prophet, I am a prophet also, as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But look at this. But he lied unto him. Beloved, that's what's happening with them voices when they invite you to come home with them. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. And you're going to reap the consequences. You say, but won't God have mercy on me? You're God's child. But God will not and cannot. If he didn't tolerate sin in his own son's life, he's not going to tolerate sin in my life and your life. He's not going to tolerate obedience in us. The Bible said in verse 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. What happened? He gave him the voice. it was trapped. Now, I don't have the time this morning to go ahead and tell you the end results, but the end results is the young prophet died. I don't have time to read the scriptures, I'm saying. The end results is that he died. Oh, he didn't die and go to hell, but he died. He died in disobedience. God had meant what he said. And brother, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You may get up in the morning and decide, well, I'm going to wear a long sleeve shirt, a short sleeve shirt. I'm going to wear this colored dress or that colored dress. I'm going to wear a tie. I'm not going to wear a tie. Well, today we're going to eat this. We're going to eat this. And tomorrow we'll eat. You can make it. I'm going to buy this color car. That, you can make decisions like that. But beloved, there's some things that God's always lying on. And when we don't listen, then we end up suffering the consequences. But God is not always in the earthquake. God's not always in the wind. And God's not always in the fire. But the voice of the Lord prevails. What have you been listening to this week? What have you heard this morning in this service? What will you listen to after you leave this service? What will you hear next week? I encourage you. Don't go home with those voices that counter the Word of God and the Spirit. Yes, servants help us. Yes, surroundings help us. But they cannot go against the Scriptures, and they cannot go against the Spirit. If they do, leave them alone. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for the mercies you've shown along this subject line. Oh, how many of us have suffered because we listened to those invitations to come home to the wrong place with the wrong person, to do the wrong thing rather than the right. Lord, thank thee that thou art a restoring, just as you restored Elijah somewhat, returned his focus to what it should be, and gave him some final commands before he was ushered out in chariots of fire. Here in the life of this young prophet also, in 1 Kings 13, he never had a chance to recover. He died. And Lord, he died, as far as we know, in disobedience. Help us to obey you. Help us, Lord, as Paul charged young Timothy in what we'll look at tonight. Help us, Lord, to remember that our charge is to preach the Word. And Lord, if we're to preach it, then we're to live it. Help us to follow you in the ministry as a man of God, with the message of God, for your honor and for your glory. Forgive us now wherein we failed you. May the Holy Spirit take the chaff, any chaff that's been uttered or fought by man, may you blow it away. And may the Holy Spirit of God germinate in our hearts the truth this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Christian praise hymnal. There's a song that I like to sing when I think about the charges that God has given us. So I invite you to take a hymn book and turn to hymn number 242. Hymn number 242. I believe that's correct. Let's stand together. A charge. And share with us whatever the Lord's laid on his heart.
I bless you all. I thank the Lord for you folks. We really do. And I'm just going to try to say a few words. And that's all I intended to say anyway. We were meetings all week long. And it seemed almost every speaker got up there and said, well, I was going to speak on this, but I decided to speak on this instead. But what happened when he says that, see, he spoke on what he was going to speak on, and he spoke on what he decided to speak on. So he got to give them both, really, when it came down to it. Now, I'm kind of inclined that way. I was kind of inclined that way when I was coming up here. And then after hearing our dear brother speak, now I've got three things I want to talk about. But I'll try to hurry this along.
Sorry, I'm going to take it.
I was gonna initially think of toward just bringing a few thoughts from over in Joshua. You know, Joshua 4, and the chapter there where the children of Israel, you know, crossed over Jordan. And the Lord told Joshua, says, you have some of those fellows pick up stones. We won't read it fast. You can Joshua 4, verses 1 and following, and go back and read it. He said, have some fellows pick up stones. Pile them up over there when you're done. And Joshua, whatever. They did. The Lord said, because someday, says, your children are going to say, what are those stones for? What do those stones mean? You know, they were something to make the next generation like.
Amen.
You know, I feel that charge often. You know, I've shared that with some of them. I got all those books. I got all those things. I got swords hanging around. I got all kinds of things hanging around the walls of my house. And part of that, the inclination is, not just because I like that, but, you know, the next generation or other folks are there to say, well, what's that thing? What does that mean? You know, and then you can tell them that. And, you know, we all have those sorts of things. I mean, you got a sign out on the road and whatever. It's important to have those stones. And they may take different forms, but we set those monuments up, and the next generation, what are those like? That's what I was going to say, but that's not what I'm going to say. Then something came to mind just because we were at those meetings, and I don't know why they're not there, and I haven't been to some meetings for a while. I'm not certainly not judging folks because we may be involved in different things in different ways, but folks weren't there. You know, I don't know that they quit. Maybe some of them did. I'm glad, you know, brother said the Lord's encouraged his heart. And I'm not going to preach the sermon the last time I was here, but remember over again in Jeremiah 20 where Jeremiah's going to quit. And we all get there sometimes. And Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm going to quit. He said, you lied to me. Well, Lord doesn't lie to us. You know, we come to the scriptures and we get something. some idea of the way things we think they ought to be, the way they should be. And we thought, well, you know, before things get bad, the Lord's going to take me out of here. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But I'm sure some folks would be disappointed if it doesn't happen. They'll say, Lord, you lied to me. He said, I didn't lie. Yeah, I've got something for you to do. But in Jeremiah 20, and I'll just read those verses quickly. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. I did what you told me to. I preached your word, and I brought trouble. And it's a reason daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I quit. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones.
Yes.
And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I don't think the Lord let us quit. So we need to go on with those things. You know, all of us. We've been called to different things, different charges, different times. Sometimes I don't know what. We want to know the right voice. So I guess I just encourage you to stay on, keep on, don't quit. We can't. The Lord's not going to let you anyway. And the other thing that came to mind, this is probably not right to pick up on what Brother Hanser was doing, but you know, those thoughts come to your mind. You don't get a chance too often to come up and pick up where somebody else left off. So I just a couple words. Folks, you know, there's a lion out there. There's a lion out there. Brother Hanser said that the man of God died. Yeah, a lion killed him. Say, there's a lion out there. And I got to think about that man of God. I've preached on that before. It's always an important passage. But I've prayed to the Lord in the past. My wife knows this. You know, I've not always been what I should have. Not always done what I should. But I've prayed to the Lord, you know, before I would become a derision to his name, and he'd kill me. I don't know. You think maybe the young man of God had done something like that? Lord, before my life, before my ministry becomes a reproach to me, kill me. Well, certainly that's what happened to him. I don't know what all transpired before. Now, don't you all leave here if the Lord kills me. Say, Lord God, you don't know that. The Lord may have some other purposes. So I'm not giving you an excuse to go tell the story since the Lord decides to take me home. But the Lord, that young man of God may have just had that kind of heart about him. You know, and we'd get off sometimes. And he was certainly in a place he shouldn't have been, doing what he shouldn't have done. Started rubbing shoulders with folks he shouldn't have been rubbing shoulders with. He probably should have known better, even though he's a young man. So, there's, sometimes I hear the roar of the lion out there. Maybe that's, you know, helps us to start getting our priorities right again. Because there's a lion out there. There's a lion out there. Satan's a roaring lion. Well, I'm going to tell you this too. Satan's doing all he can to overturn the Lord's sovereign will. And the more he does, the more he accomplishes it. You know, he's doing what the Lord has sovereignly intended, even though that's not what he wants. That's not what he intends. Our God's in charge. That is the bottom line. I often said there's only, you know, two things we really need to know. God is absolutely sovereign. And God loves his people with an everlasting love. Now, if you know those two things, the rest of it doesn't matter a whole lot. He's absolutely sovereign. He loves me. Well, what else do I have to worry about? What else do I need to be concerned with? And again, certainly carrying out his will. So, I was just depressed more this week and not talking much about the meetings. But again, just staying in the fight. Folks, we need to be there. We need to keep on doing what we're doing. because this empire is going to crumble. It's going to. I don't have to do anything to make it happen. You know, I always talk about filling my hands, and I feel like I'm not even going to have to do it. This empire is going to fall. There's no doubt about it. And then, but we need, by the grace of God, to still be here. You know, carrying on. And as God may will, that sort of refuge on him. So we thank the Lord for you folks and your faithfulness, your hospitality, and the Lord's blessing on you.
Brother, would you lead us in closing?
I sure will, bro. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've set aside as yours. Lord, as we gather on the first day, our Savior rose victorious from the grave. Father, we can't comprehend your love. We especially can't comprehend why it would be shed abroad on such as we. And yet, Lord, you are pleased to make us the recipients of it. Father, I pray that we might be faithful. That we might discern your will and your way and your word. Not be flown hither and yon by the voices of those who may have already compromised. Lord, we know we don't have the strength to stand on our own. Father, we depend upon your mercy in all things. Father, we pray again for our brothers in the ministry, for those sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Again, Lord, give us grace to stand in these wicked days. Lord, thank you for this, your church, here in Ellenwood. Father, we pray for our own church and Archer and our folk there. Father, may we be witnesses for thee. May we be testimonies for thee. Lord, may we never bring reproach upon your name. And we pray all in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.